streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper. Jordan says its military has airdropped much-needed supplies inside Gaza. The BBC's Ben Lowings.
Jordan's state news agency said the consignment was urgent medical aid for the Jordanian Field Hospital in Gaza. It said the facility's supplies were about to run out, owing to delays in delivering aid through the Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt. King Abdullah of Jordan said it was his military's duty to help the wounded who were suffering in Gaza.
Meantime, Palestinian health officials claim Israeli fighter jets have struck two refugee camps in the Gaza Strip. Russia's war against Ukraine is still raging. On NBC's Meet the Press, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he hopes people will still show support for his country as it fends off the Russian attacks.
I think it's important in the United States and EU, the attitude of just ordinary people. It's their support, it's their money, it depends on them.
60 Minutes has been looking into Social Security payments and mistakes. Those mistakes can cost thousands of dollars that recipients have to pay back. Correspondent Anderson Cooper reports.
In a statement, the Social Security Administration told us our payment accuracy rates are high, yet even small error rates add up to substantial improper payment amounts. The agency said it's required by law to recover this money, and added that overpayments are not necessarily the agency's fault. They can happen when a beneficiary does not timely report work or other financial information.
New House Speaker Mike Johnson says Republicans are working on a continuing resolution to keep the government funded through the middle of January while working on a broader budget. He was on Fox News Sunday.
I think you see a united and energized House Republican conference. All of our members are working together in good faith, trying to solve these great challenges that we face. And I'm very optimistic.
Striking actors and Hollywood producers met over the weekend. CBS News Bay Area reporter Kenny Choi has the latest on where they stand.
On Saturday, studios presented SAG-AFTRA members with what they're calling the best and final offer. The proposal includes more residual bonuses for popular streaming shows and protections on AI. The actors aren't alone. So far this year, more than 450,000 American workers went on strike, up from over 140,000 just 2 years ago.
More fruit pouches for kids are being recalled for lead poisoning. The USDA says at least 7 kids in 5 states have gotten sick so far from cinnamon applesauce and other fruit puree pouch products. They're made by Schnucks and Weiss supermarket chains. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is your hometown radio refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new survey finds almost 3/4 of water samples drawn across Wisconsin last year were contaminated with PFAS chemicals. Scientists with the state sampled 450 private wells that reach no deeper than 40 feet. It's the first time Wisconsin sampled shallow groundwater away from large communities or PFAS cleanup and investigation sites. Most of the wells had PFAS concentrations lower than both state DNR and federal EPA standards. Wisconsin could get $229 million from Washington to help pay to keep children in daycare. It's part of an emergency request the Biden administration is making to Congress after pandemic daycare funding ran out at the end of September. The Wisconsin legislature rejected Governor Evers' special session on child care this fall. After that, Evers released $170 million in emergency funding. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hold on to beat the Rams. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Rams 20-3 at Lambeau Field. The turning point of the game may have come in the fourth quarter when defensive back Jair Alexander deflected a deep pass intended for Cooper Kupp but was picked off by Packers rookie safety Anthony Johnson.
Quarterback was looking one way. I broke that way. Jaw came out of nowhere, tipped it up, caught it.
I asked Jair about the defense holding the Rams to just 3 points in the game.
Probably should have held him to zero, but it is exciting to see just 3 points. You know, you can win a lot of games like that.
Up next, the Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Nets in Brooklyn. Tip-off time tonight in the Barclays Center at 6:30. The Bucks' Bobby Portis says at 3-2, things are coming along, but you've got to remember, the players are human, not video game characters.
When you put teams together, 5-6 new faces, it's going to take time to gel. This ain't 2K, you feel me? This is real life.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, some sprinkles or light rain showers. Breezy with a low near 48. For Monday, doesn't warm up much, 53. Breezy with a west wind up to 25 miles per hour. For Monday night, mostly cloudy. Winds decrease. We'll see a low around 34. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 47.
It's 57 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, a happier, happy hour, and nothing but you bitchin'. Your grievances this entire hour, and a few of ours, maybe. We might throw a few in them. But just so the people have the number, you know, for those hopping in the car, done with work, you survived. We're not quite there
well
yet.
Well done.
But we'll join you soon. 844-967-2789. Air your grievances here. But, Dom, I thought we might start this hour by helping to distill why it is the Democratic Party makes it so damn difficult to win elections. There's an article over at Politico. Their prophecy of an enduring Democratic rule fell apart. They blame college grads. It's the college kids' fault that the Democrats could lose, Dom. So that's the premise. Yeah, just...
I don't know. What?
Here is the subheadline at the Politico. Can Democrats overcome their college campus branding and reclaim the working class? Because this will be bemoaning the fact that the Democratic Party is losing labor, losing the blue collar. Could the future of our republic really be riding on the fact that so many people think elite college students are totally, totally annoying? Outrageous over student activists excusing Hamas have driven the news since the attacks on Israel. But the author here, Michael Schaefer, senior editor at the Politico, writes, but I found myself thinking about more prosaic 21st century campus headlines about safe spaces or heckled speakers or other Fox News staples while reading an advanced copy of a big book about a less deadly crisis, the travails of the Democratic Party. The book, Where Have All the Democrats Gone, comes from a somewhat surprising pair of writers, John Judas and Roy Texacara, I hope I got that right. Yes, that's the same duo that became Beltway famous 20 years ago for predicting a new era of Democratic triumph based in large part on the party's dominance among the college students. You know, the college kids, Dom. Once upon a time, Judas and Texacara, the emerging Democratic majority, was hailed as having foreseen the rising minority in college grad demographic combo that powered Barack Obama's win. But the political realignment that the Democratic Beltway insiders simplistically took as a matter of faith never happened. And now the pair are back with a book grappling with what went wrong It's a nuanced argument, but here's the short version. The progressive, college-educated culture embodied by one element of that coalition is driving away everybody else. It's an answer, I think, that says as much about the specific makeup of the Washington political pros as it does about the broad demographic trends that undergirded the initial rosy predictions. What happened, question mark? In Judas and Texarkera's account, the 21st Century Party under-delivered on populist economics for working-class voters. Now, Dom, I have echoed that sentiment for a while, and that in part is why Bernie Sanders was so appealing to me. Even though I found him to be quite progressive, this democratic socialist, I never heard of that. So many of the ideas he put forth initially seemed like, wow, that's so far out there. Until they were put under scrutiny and you realize, damn, that's pretty good. What's the cost on that? Oh, that's relatively cheap compared to most of our national expenditures on, let's say, warfare. But I read on. Again, back to the author talking about what happened. Where'd all the Democrats go? But at the same time, it over-indexed for the cultural style that has jumped from campuses into the sort of professions where expensively degreed folks predominate. Folks like you, Dom, you know, radio journalists, stuff like that, including the constellation of Washington organizations, businesses, and advocacy groups that help define a party's public image. The result, they say, is a party increasingly identified with the professional class and increasingly shunned by blue-collar voters it used to represent. Most ominously, in the past couple of election cycles, Democratic margins have softened amongst black and brown blue-collar voters, too. And here's one statement, Dom, and then I'd like to get your opinion. Because the labor movement is so weak now, and the working class influences in the Democratic Party are so weak now, and because the base of the Democratic Party is, in literal numerical terms, more steered towards white, college-educated, and politically liberal people, it's just basically the campus culture has become the party as a whole, according to Texarkera. And that obviously is not a great way to attract working class voters. And surprise, surprise, it hasn't been good for it. So if I understand the argument being made by these authors and the author of this piece at Politico, it's the damn college kids looking for their safe spaces and these different sort of liberal agendas that have sort of become the Democratic Party agenda. But it's off-putting to the, working class, blue collar, especially whites here in the upper Midwest, that used to be the base of the Democratic Party. So, Dom, I ask you,
come on.
Why is it the next generation's fault? These kids,
these kids these days, man. Kids today. Kids today. These millennials, I don't even know what generation we're on. Those young kids. I don't know if I agree with the premise. I don't know that a quote-unquote blue-collar working-class person on the farm or in the factory is really diving into safe spaces on college argument with the righties that are on college. I just don't know that that'd be the case. I think, you know, just anecdotally, folks that I've run into over the last, you know, 10, 12 years, 13 years doing this show with you, I don't know, most seem like working people to me, man. You know, you got to get up and go do a job. If you got to get up, punch a clock or whatever the case is, go do your job and get home. You got to, those are working folks, man. Now, certainly they're, you know, farming is hard. Some manufacturing stuff is hard. Some of that labor work is certainly very difficult. And short time frames in which people can, you know, work in those industries and make that money before, you know, bodies break down and or the industry passes and technology passes them by. So I don't know that I would think that what goes on a college campus between, you know, 19 and 20 year olds is really going to impact a laborer, you know, working, you know, second shift, in their 30s and 40s. I just don't know that that's a relatable experience or has any influence on that laborer's quote unquote voting.
Well, okay, then why aren't they voting with the Democrats? If it's not having any impact, if it's not off-putting to this electorate,
I would say because Democrats have traditionally underperformed because we have the corporate Dems that you
not
talked about,
traditionally,
the populism, man. But I would also say that, as we talked about it with our pal the other day, Joe Biden walked the picket line, man. I mean, we have
talking about Rick Smith, our pal from Talk Radio.
Joe Biden walked the picket line. No president's done that, right? We have the labor in strikes in Detroit, very successful. Organized labor, as far as I look at this, has been becoming more popular over the last 10 years, not less. So I don't know. And generally, and certainly not to say that all labor folks are going to go vote for Joe Biden. I think Bernie Sanders has a good populist message. I thought, $15 minimum wages, for example, Medicare for all. I think these are things that a lot of working people, call it anybody working, making less than $200,000 a year, would be down for, man. I mean, the cost of healthcare is through the roof. We get fleeced and pilfered every time we turn around, man. So I don't know that I buy the premise. I think the message has to be there, and certainly performances has to be there. Because I don't know how the working, everyday average working people are going to look at what the Republicans are doing right now in Congress, or what Donald Trump has been proposing is going to make their lives better. I mean, other than giving justification to hate the right people that they hate, I don't know what that message is. It's certainly not fiscal responsibility. Donald Trump had more debt to this country than any president ever. It's certainly not family values. I mean, come on, check the box, look down the list. So whatever traditional messaging or whatever people traditionally bought from the Republican Party is not, I don't think, is going to sell to the mega party. I just don't see that, man.
Well, first and foremost, I think you make a false assumption, and perhaps there is a revitalization of the union movement since the pandemic, but the unions have been on a terrible decline, a decline since, like the 1970s now. Graphics show me that union households in 1983 were 20%, one in all five households. Now it's 10% in 2022. And that's a plateau number. That is better than the trajectory that unions have been on. And certainly here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, we've seen Scott Walker decimate the unions. First it was the public sector, then it was Right to Work, right? I mean, talk just the other day about the nurses and the crisis they have at University of Wisconsin Hospital because they can't unionize. They have no collective bargaining power over their own workforce. Well, it's having decimating effects, certainly in our backyard. I think the loss of manufacturing work has certainly decimated many towns across the upper Midwest, the Rust Belt, right? But I don't see what it is. And the greater argument being made here, I think, by this columnist at the Politico is, but what argument are the Democrats making? Maybe Joe Biden walked on the picket line, but that's the first time it's ever happened, Dom. And for a long time, we have seen the Democratic Party bleeding union labor and bleeding working class. And what do we hear? We hear guys like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump claiming the Republican Party is the party of the workers. And you can say, well, people are smarter than that, but are they? Are they? What pain has the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin felt for decimating the unions here in the state of Wisconsin? What retribution has been served upon them? Zero, zip, none. If anything, they made themselves more electable by getting rid of the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Your Friday grievances, they're aired here if you call
844-967-2789. 93.5
The Tap. RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Friday, airing the grievances, 844-967-2789.
Dom, lots of chastisement coming from the text line. People say, Grudy, don't blame the progressives. Well, I'd like to think I'm pretty damn progressive. The question is, how do you define progressive? What are the issues of your progressivism, I guess?
Well, mine the question always, is, these authors that blame college Dems for
it's not
for
the
whatever
college Dems
are the Democrats today? Well, I'm not sure, though. Tell me.
It is the notion. It's identity politics, Dom. Read a little beyond what's written on the page. Infer it's identity politics that they're bemoaning. It's the fact that the Democratic Party, if you check a box, you're welcome here. You fit in our tent. But if you're just a white working class stiff that goes down to the factory every day and you don't check their box, they don't necessarily have a place for you. Or at least it is my strong impression, and I think the impression of the authors, that is the problem. The Democratic Party has become the most liberal, at least in public-facing arguments, and that allows the Fox News to take social wedge issues and beat us over the head with it. When really, if the Democrats were out there talking about keeping the government open and keeping people in child care, in health care, in issues...
I mean, I think they're saying those things, man.
Who is saying those things? Where? Where am I hearing those messages from the current Democratic Party?
Go to any Democratic.
I listen close.
All right. Are you seeing the Twitter feeds? I mean, I don't know how you get your information, Crudy. You want people like coming down to you on your doorstep telling you this is what they think? I mean, the politicians put these things out all the time, dude.
Really? Because I'm in the talk radio politics business, and I don't hear that message overwhelming me.
Chuck Schumer's Twitter feed.
What? I got to get on Chuck Schumer's Twitter feed to find out
what
the Democrats stand for?
What do you want?
I want every Democrat. I'll answer the question.
How do you want it delivered to you, man? This is for real, man. Come on.
Not through interruption and yelling at me. I would like to have an opportunity to say, you want to deliver it? Do so consistently. Go out there on the bully pulpit. We got a governor. He could be on the air each and every day talking about economic kitchen table issues to the state of Wisconsin. He could be bragging about the bounce back grants that he was masterful in his economic development for small business in the state of Wisconsin. We could hear about the positive things happening in the state. But I don't. All I hear is battles over DEI. On campus, and we can't fund the universities. We're sitting on a $7 million surplus, but somehow Republicans have made this the issue du jour because we let them, because we're not talking about issues that affect most Wisconsinites. Yeah, is DEI important to the college kids? Yeah, absolutely should be. Is diversity important in this life? Yes. But is it how you lead your campaign? I think when the Democratic Party does, they do so at the expense of white and blue-collar, white working class and blue-collar voters. And I think that's played out in the small margins in the fact that Donald Trump was able to overturn the blue wall that Wisconsin used to be. And it could happen again very quickly, very readily.
Said, if you elect me, this plant will never leave. And the plant leaves. I mean, the guy's got a record. And I think you, unfortunately, Crudy, I think you bring a grievance to this discussion. So Evers isn't on the radio doing it how you want him to do it every day.
He's not the only leader of the party.
All right, now you're going to talk about interrupting me, dude? So he's not doing it the way that you want him to do it. And somehow that is a reflection upon how Democrats in colleges are affecting the lack of what? A blue collar folks supporting the Dems. I don't see this the throughput there, Crudy. And if you look at what the Republicans have said and what they have done and how they've delivered, if you want to look at the facts, I would say that objectively, anybody in those positions, and if you're to classify people in a work environment to see what the Republicans have done for them or what the Democratic Party has done for them, and put it out and do your SWOT analysis, dude, there's no way that you're going to say, well, I'm going Republican.
But yet it happens. It happened in the midterms. It happens in every freaking elective cycle. We come down to a coin flip in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to do so again next year, probably, because it's always, yeah,
and it's
always
not
about the economy
on the college campus. When you bring that kind of stuff up, you're agreeing with the Republicans' culture war BS, man. That's not the issue. There's greater issues. How about you know the racism which is behind their anti-DEI, man? You want to talk?
You
about
you think
things?
I failed to bring
these
those things up?
Are very specific. Those are the problems. But you're talking about it in terms of how the Republicans are shoveling it to
no,
you.
No, I'm talking about it in terms of how the Democratic Party is embracing identity politics at the expense of a broad tent where everyone feels included, including the working class, and they have not felt included by this Democratic Party, and we see the results in electoral outcomes. Let's hear from others. 844-967-2789. Chris from Rice Lake, a new name. Welcome, Chris. You're at the top of the list.
Hey, Chris.
Hello?
Yeah, Chris. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a grievance, but I just want to add to your conversation a little bit. You know, the Republican Party has been browbeating the working class people and splitting the Democratic Party in half. It's the East and the West Coast Democrats against the working Democrats in the Midwest. And when there was a vacuum that was created, the Republicans swooped in and they scooped up all the working people saying, you know what, we're here for you. We believe in, you know, we want you to believe that we are your, you know, we're here for you. Don't worry about the East Coast. Don't worry about the West Coast. All them rich people care about is themselves and, you know, their agendas. They don't care about you. And that's the problem with the Democratic Party. It doesn't matter what they say about, oh, you know what, we're doing this for the economy and we're doing that for the economy. They don't care. They don't care about that anymore. They care about their, you know, these working people care about their economy. They don't care about DEI. They don't care about LGBTQ. They care about them. And the only ones that are addressing what they care about are the Republicans. And I'm sorry to say, I'm a huge Democrat, but that's the truth. You know, it started before Scott Walker. It started before the popcorn guy. I mean, this has been going on for years and years and years. And now it's going to be so hard to get the Democrats back in line. I mean, that's why we have all these screwy elections. It really is.
I think you're speaking truth, Chris. Your truth, certainly. I think it is a truth. And I think the kitchen table issues, how's my family doing? That affects people. It affects them in Rice Lake, I suspect. Where are you listening to us today, Chris, if I may ask? How are you listening to us?
Online. On your app, I should say.
Well, you know, we got some fine radio stations in your neck of the woods. We're trying to have conversations with your part of the state. Thanks for joining ours today. Your grievances, they're welcome here. We're the devil's advocates. And sometimes we argue. Doesn't mean we don't love each other. Just
love
means
you, man.
Dom's often wrong, and sometimes I got to argue with him. But come back. You know, you can make your case right here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's how we do it. Little bitching, some grievances. Friday, it's a happier, happy hour. We're rolling through it. Your phone calls are next. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. More aid has arrived in Gaza, this time by plane. The BBC's Eileen McHugh has details.
King Abdullah of Jordan has said his country's air force has been able to airdrop urgent medical and pharmaceutical aid to the Jordanian Field Hospital in the Gaza Strip.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Volodymyr Zelensky says he hopes people will continue to support Ukraine against Russian attacks.
We are not ready to give our freedom to this terrorist Putin. That's it. That's why we are fighting.
In Portland, Oregon, parents will have to make other plans for school kids as the teacher's strike goes on. The school superintendent canceled classes for Monday. CBS News Bay Area reporter Kenny Choi.
In Oregon, the Portland Teachers Union is striking for higher pay and smaller class sizes.
The district wants to make it sound like it's really that we're out here, you know, fighting for ourselves. We're not. This is about our students.
Negotiations resume Monday afternoon. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is dismissing suggestions that a conservative advertising blitz persuaded him to move articles of impeachment forward against Megan Wolf. The group bought $100,000 of TV and newspaper ads in Milwaukee calling for Voss's ouster. Voss tells the Cap Times the group doesn't understand how the process works. Wisconsin Democrats are in campaign mode a year early. They're launching a statewide organizing effort in 115 communities this weekend. President Biden might not have long coattails in Wisconsin. State Party Chair Ben Wickler says that won't matter.
Voters are casting ballots because of the issues, because of their yearning for freedom, because they want to have the power to make their own decisions about their own bodies, because they want to live in a democracy.
Wickler points to Democrats' recent wins for statewide office and Jenna Protasiewicz's Supreme Court victory. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almost Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, some sprinkles or light rain showers. Breezy with a low near 48. For Monday, doesn't warm up much, 53. Breezy with a west wind up to 25 miles per hour. For Monday night, mostly cloudy. Winds decrease. We'll see a low around 34. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 47.
It's 57 at our studios.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, Aaron of the Grievances and the Happier Happy Hour. We always encourage your participation. And I got a few people fired up. They disagree with me, although some, there are a smattering disagreeing with you as well, Dom. The argument made by a political columnist and a couple of authors he interviewed, the prophecy of enduring Democratic rule fell apart. They blame college grads. And what they are saying is effectively the Democratic Party has become a party of identity grievance, or at least that's how they're being campaigned against. And it's with some effect because they've lost the working class voter. Now, There are some that disagree with you, Dom. There are a lot that disagree with me, but I'm going to start with one that disagrees with you. Yes, blame them. Ha, ha, ha. And Dom, you are the exact problem. Why the Dems are not taking off as much as they should. It's thinking like yeah. yours.
Boy, yeah.
And then there are many well, that say.
I mean, come on. I mean, more detail than that, man. Thinking like mine. Well, what thinking?
That this is all about all these ancillary issues, not the economy. White working
class. I mean, the economy is stupid. Has been a color for a long time. I mean, come on. Real quick, from the political, and you get back to your, I just want to throw this out there because I didn't know, and now I know. I want to share with you. The writers in this political piece, bred in the old left that venerated labor unions and the New Deal, have some personal experience with a disconnect they refer to. A longtime staple of the Liberal Center for American Progress, TX Era, 71 years old, left last year to take a perch at the American Enterprise Institute, a bastion of pro-market conservatism. It's an odd place for someone with a social democratic take on the economy, but a move he said he made because he couldn't stand the cultural climate of liberal think tanks. Judas, 82, the author's colleague a decade ago at the New Republic, has written extensively on nationalism in recent years, arguing it's an essential component in winning support for progressive economic schemes. Quote, I had professors telling me they would assign it to their class and the kids wouldn't read it because they identify it with Trump, unquote. Those are the authors. So maybe lefties now older, leaning little righties is kind of my takeaway from that. So again, is there more that could be done? Of course there is, man. And I've voted for Republicans. I voted for libertarians. And I, more recently, I voted for the Democrats because I'm anti-fascist more than anything. You know what I mean? And what I've seen from the Republican Party and the libertarians, at least some of their Twitter feeds of late, are not very pro-democratic to me.
No,
so that's where I'm at, man.
They'd sell your democracy down the river for a tax cut. And a lot of people only care about their own families. We've talked about this. If it doesn't affect them, it doesn't affect them, right? But if the Republican Party says, we're for you, you working class Joes and Janets, you Joe Sixpacks, we're your party. And the Democrats seemingly don't, guess what? If I claim I'm the pro-weed candidate, then I become the pro-weed candidate because I say I am. The Republicans literally, by just saying, we're for you. We're for you, working people. They have made huge inroads in the working class, not because they've earned it, not through policy. Rational thought does not factor in here. I totally agree with you, Dom. But it still has effect. I don't want to pre-debate her, but here's a friend of ours, Chris from Sun Prairie. It's been too long. I think I know where you're going. I see you trashing me on text line. Chris, welcome back to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Well, I don't know that I really agree on either end of that. I just think this is kind of the latest thing to blame. I think that if the party has anybody to blame, maybe it's themselves. Because, you know, we had Build Back Better. I mean, I supported Biden even after I was a Bernie delegate and a Bernie supporter for the second time around. But I supported Biden, and I think I've liked a lot of what Joe Biden has done. And I was very happy when I saw the student loan forgiveness. I was very happy when I looked at Build Back Better. I was very disappointed when the student loan forgiveness was pulled back. And then also when none of the real progressive part of Build Back Better went through. You know, I was really disappointed in that. So none of the real progressive policies have actually made it through. So that's, you know, if anybody's talking about anything progressive, you know, look at the stuff that was left on the floor, and that's where the progressive stuff is. So I'm real disappointed in that part. But I still support President Biden, except for, like, right now I'm having a very difficult time with Gaza and Israel. I do understand, and I have a lot of Jewish friends, and I really feel for what happened to the Jewish people. I do believe they have a right to defend themselves, but defending yourself and going in and just carpet bombing people are very different things. And I really feel for the people as well in Gaza. So I really have a problem. I think the president needs to broker a peace if he can, and we need to help those people. But back to the Democratic Party, my concern is people won't show up to vote. That's my concern. It's not that there, people just might not. And not just for Biden. I worry about Tammy Baldwin because of the F-35s. I think that some people are tone deaf when it comes to their base supporters. And I do think that, you know, there are people that are their base supporters that are being ignored and not listened to.
Chris, you were a Bernie Sanders supporter, as you've acknowledged. And
yes,
as I recall, the vast majority of Bernie's agenda was economic populism. It was, you know, forgive student loan debt, make 2-year or 4-year college free, state schools, Medicare for all. And we can argue around the fringes about how we accomplish these things and whether or not they're affordable. And I think many of them could be as we actually scrutinize the policy positions of Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all about kitchen table issues. It was all about the economy, stupid. And I found that very refreshing. These were the things that affected so many of the different people I talk to each and every day. Everybody's affected by the economy. And Chris, my fear is if the economy takes a little turn for the South, I mean, we got interest rates that are going to make buying houses very, very difficult. People are going to get stuck in their houses for a while because interest rates are cresting at 7% and 8%, and they used to be 2%. Well, cheap money policy is over, Chris. But here's
that's not a Democratic Party issue, man. That's the Fed.
It's a Democratic Party issue when we get stuck with the recession and Joe Biden's got the headwinds going into an election year. That's my fear.
I mean, this is what the Fed is trying to do, is slow the economy down, man. The Fed wants unemployment to go up. That's how this math works.
Chris, please do.
Can I just say something? Yeah, well, you know, if the economy gets bad, there are people that the economy has never gotten better for. They're the people that are homeless right now. They're the people that can't feed their children. They're the people that have been through 3, 4, 5 layoffs that never got over it. They're still carrying bills. You know, the economy didn't get better for a lot of people. So when people say no one's being hurt, they don't truly understand what's happening at the level of real working class people. A lot of people really took great losses. And the economy doesn't make up for those.
And how do you think we speak to those people? I guess I'm saying, as a Democratic Party, if I was running for president, if I was Joe Biden or I'm Tammy Baldwin, how should I speak to those people in your opinion, Chris?
In my opinion, they can ask us what they can do to help us. I lost my job in 2009. And I have things that I have an adult disabled daughter. There are needs. We need housing for people that are adults that are disabled, that get Social Security checks, that can then take care of their needs for a month. We have needs out here for people. I can take care of myself, but we have people that cannot. And we have needs out here. And this is what should be first on the table, not people that are getting their second, third, fourth houses and these companies that are making billions of dollars. And I have to say, it's really difficult to watch our senators and Congress members go into the Congress with net worths and come out billionaires or millionaires or, you know, they're just very, very wealthy. So I have to say, we got to get the money out of politics. And we need public servants back in. If you want to go make money in a big corporation, go do that. And let people that will regulate you do their job in Congress.
Sorry to cut you short, Chris. We got lots of people.
Regulation lost through there. No, I'm just kidding, Chris. Thank you always for your insight, Chris. I love hearing from you. Sister.
As much as I respect Chris, here's another voice I respect very much. Bill Dunn, my friend, says, please stop blaming the Democratic Party for things it has little control of. Blame the mainstream media, which doesn't pursue stories that aren't sexy, i.e. conflict-driven. The Republicans have a fallback position of distrust in government and hatred of taxes. According to Bill, the Dems should counteract that to the extent they can. And then he offers a great source here, he says, and I believe him, governmentisgood.com. Governmentisgood.com.
Well,
Thank you, Bill.
You know, you get the government and you get. I mean, you know, yeah, Donald Trump was you know, the head of the executive branch. You know what? Was that good government? I would challenge that. You know, I mean, the elections do matter. The people do matter. And Chris, to talk about some of those folks you identified. And my concern is that with the headwinds and the challenges and everything that they have to deal with, Are they able to get out and go and vote, to engage? I mean, it's almost a privilege, and it's a terrible thing to say. It's almost a privilege to be engaged to the degree that we're able to do so. I mean, if you're out there, you know, working two or three jobs, trying to, you know, pay the rent and do that, are you going to take time out to go and vote, or even take time out to do a little research and read and know about the issues that may or may not help the situation that you may be in, and your local government and your municipal and your state government? Those are challenges that I think we need to overcome in some way.
Tom from Grafton, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hi. At this point, I have to agree with Crudy. I think on this one, he's right. And I think, too, that the common person, especially the white person, which, what is it, about 80% in this state?
More than that. About 91%.
You know, responsible for everybody's problems. And I'm not in charge of people. I don't put, you know, people down and stuff like that. And a lot of my working people who I work with, you know, are not management and have nothing to say as to why people are in the spots they're in. But I would say that we're not we're looked down upon because I think we're blamed falsely for a lot of the problems, as, you know, in society. And we also see that the Democratic Party focuses on minorities, which is fine, and, you know, gays and stuff like that, and, you know, they need attention too. But it's, but you never hear the common person being uplifted, you know, the white person in particular. And you know, you look at media and stuff like that, and you just, you know, most of the commercials, you know, on radio, on TV and stuff like that, there's not many white people in them anymore, especially for white males. But I think it's important that the media, you know, like you are here now to tell the truth of what's actually happening. And I'm, you know, so glad you're on the air.
Well, Tom, appreciate you listening. I don't think it's, let's just keep moving. I've expressed many of my opinions. 844.
We got a lot of callers.
967-2789. Let's hear from Kelly from Madison next. Welcome, Kelly. What do you got for us?
All right, Kelly.
Hi, guys. Oh, Crudy, I think you are so on the money. And I would encourage.
Are you sure? Because I was doubting myself there for a minute.
No. In fact, just last night, if you haven't heard of the station Tubi, please go on there and watch the documentary Hillbilly. And it speaks to everything you are talking about. And it is a documentary from a gal who grew up in coal country. And it was done in 2016. And it tells exactly why Trump was elected. These were former Democrats, and they were all ignored. And he went in there and gave them hopes and dreams, and now they're all wearing the hat, and they think that he's the hero. And so we've got to appeal to these people. Everybody, there's little Appalachians all over this country, as it points out. We have them all over in Wisconsin.
Kelly, I know. I've driven all around the state, and we'd like to think we got radio signals touching most of the parts in a good way. You know, a good way. Handshake. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Final segment for your grievances. 844-96-PARTY.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789.
And a short promotion for the Democratic Party of Walworth County. Crudy will be speaking at the fundraiser tomorrow night in Delavan. I believe that's at the Lake Lawn Resort, the cocktail hour 5 to 7. Crudy, I believe I go near the front, but the speakers that come after me, I'm just the warm-up act, you know, like they do it at the comedy clubs. The bad comedian goes first and then the headliners. Well, Crudy will warm them up for the real stars of the evening. They include Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader, Melissa Agard, Greta's in the Assembly. Melissa Agard is the Senate Minority Leader. Too many minority leaders at the party. And Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of the great state of Wisconsin. They are the headliners. I'm just the undercard. But join us all, a little fundraiser on behalf of the Walworth County Democratic Party. And anything Crudy says tonight is not a reflection on the fine work those people are doing and the party they're throwing tomorrow night. I'll see you there.
I look forward to hearing how Greta, Sarah, and Melissa, their response to you know, the fact that they don't want to reach out to the working folks enough. Because that's the real deal, man. I mean, you're talking, we're not talking esoteric kind of thing. We're talking about, you know, people that you're going to be on stage with tomorrow. What we're saying is that they don't go out and talk to working folks enough. I just don't know if I buy that, man. I don't know if I buy that. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, Europe. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, being that I'm one of the longer in the tooth listeners at 68 years old, I've seen this before, and I understand. Here's what it is. Way back when Reagan was elected, supposed Reagan Democrats, you guys don't remember that, I'm sure you're too
young. Come
on,
man, what, you think I'm 12 here? I remember.
Okay.
I was 10 when Reagan elected.
Here's where I'm going with that. I understand all of this about working class people and this, that, and the other thing, and your deluge. You're busy just getting by day to day, and they depend on low information voters. And if the only information you're getting is from this present media, no wonder this is happening. I mean, come on, things are.
Well, now it's the internet, Dick. You can get it mainlined right to your brain, dude.
Yeah, if you got a high speed internet connection.
Most people don't do that. It's a proven fact. They just go about their daily life. Most people are not like you two or like, I've been a geek like this since the beginning of time as far as paying attention to politics, but most people don't. And so, you know, Reagan fooled everybody 43 years ago with trickle down, and here you go again. I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
What's the fix?
The fix would be, an electorate that paid a little more attention. I mean, the Democrats got to go out there and find a way of just nonstop, you know, what is it in advertising? Just keep beating the drum what we've done and what we're continuing to do and just keep it up nonstop. Otherwise, I mean, look at right here in Madison, this road project on Atwood Avenue. A lot of that was federal money, part of what, and nobody, the average person doesn't know.
Damn road construction.
Darn those orange barrel.
Orange barrel fatigue.
Dick, appreciate your call. We got lots of people holding. I want to keep moving down the list. 844-967-2789. I, again, will defer my opinion for now. Chris from Middleton, You're next. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Thank you. First time car, a little nervous here, but look, I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. And I liked how Bernie talked about, you know, economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. I think, in fact, we got to lean into the identity politics also and not be shy about it. You know, I think in Wisconsin, there's still a lot of racism in Wisconsin. And most people in Wisconsin, they would treat a person in front of them, black or white, just the same. But there's this concept that in their mind that the Democrats is going to give away their tax money to the black community. And I think unless we start engaging that and talking about that, we kind of have this void we can't fill. Trump, he didn't have any policies really for the working guy, but people voted for him because he promised to keep things white in America, keep the white man's role where it's been. And that in some ways appealed to people, reassured them the world wouldn't change. But the world needs to change. Unless we engage people directly about that, I don't know if we're ever going to get through this.
Chris, well said.
Oh, wow.
Thoughtful.
Great call, man. Appreciate it. Right,
if you'd like point. To meet me in person, I'll be at Lakeview Park in Middleton next Sunday night doing a little thing for the Middleton Democratic Party. Anything Crudy said tonight is not a reflection on the Middleton Democratic Party either. I have many friends in the Democratic Party. They occasionally invite me down to do some speeches. Oh, and
maybe not anymore.
And on the 14th, Tom, that's a Tuesday, I'll be down in Waukesha. But that'll be with the Blue Skies Waukesha crew. I haven't said anything terrible about them today. They're nice people. They're friends of ours. Let's sneak a few more in here. Terry from the Northwoods. What do you got for us, Terry?
Hey, Terry.
Hi, guys. Shout out to Dick. He nailed it again, as always. But here's what I got for you guys. Just happened to bump into this article today. Per capita income, every state. I'm just going to talk about Minnesota. They're at $63,640, I believe I saw. Wisconsin, let me find it here. Come on. $56,120.
About $7,000 less per year. That's less 10%, more than 10% less than our neighbors across the river.
Right. And you know, Crudy, they trended blue in 2010, you know, with Mark Dayton and the legislature. What I don't have to say that we did. So that's what I got.
So we know, Terry. We know.
Alexandria, Minnesota is a place north of the cities. My in-laws used to live there for a period of time, and there was an article way back in 2012. I'll end with this thought today. I think it was called The Jagged Little Pill. They were talking about the fact as these rural areas became more dependent upon the government, they turned more red. And the citizens of those areas actually resented the government because they were unable to provide for their families in the way they always had. So these economic issues, they affect Minnesota, they affect Wisconsin. But I would point out the state of Minnesota incarcerates less than half as many people as the state of Wisconsin and invests less than half as much in imprisoning their citizens, because we got more criminals here, apparently. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Nick Ramos. Thank you, Al Robinson.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.